Manuela Pfaffenberger, ja? Pfaffenberger, 16 de maio de 2008. So, Manuela, tell me, present yourself and what's your background and what have you been working on lately?
Yes, I'm trained as an artist. I originally was born here near to Linz, and I studied here at Art University. I also studied in Bologna in Italy, and then came back to do my diploma here. I was working as an artist for like 5 years, and I came, or more, a little bit more, but I came in more and more into the field of curating. And since 4 years now, I'm working as a curator for Ars Electronica, for the Galerie der Stadt Wels, which is a small village near the city of Linz. And I'm also working as a free curator for different organizations or shows that I'm just putting on and which I'm making proposals. Yeah.
Are you developing some artwork at the moment?
No, no.
Or just curator?
Yeah, I'm more, so I see my work more as a curator. The project that I'm developing is more that I'm trying to find topics that are related to our society and technology area around us. And that might be interesting to the status quo of where we are living now and what we are living, which kind of topics we are dealing with, the social backgrounds and to the status quo of what is now here and what is very interesting for us.
Okay, so you were one of the people that decided the thematic of Ars Electronica Festival?
No, I have a different department, and I'm doing the Ars Electronica International, which is a department for especially doing exhibitions. And we are all, the activities that I'm doing is that we are going abroad. Like for example, Ars Electronica, I'm bringing Ars Electronica artists to different kind of locations. I'm working together with different institutions in Singapore, in Shanghai, in Spain, in Germany, in however.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how this relations happens with other countries?
We have a lot of inquiries. I just came back from Montreal, for example, where they invited me just to present Ars Electronica and to present the projects that we are doing abroad. So as soon as institution get to know that Ars Electronica can specially provide exhibitions, media art exhibitions, where most of the time contemporary art centers don't know how to handle it. So they are very interested and very keen to get in contact with us, and that we exchange some ideas, we exchange some topics, we exchange even projects sometimes when they're in the field of media art, and then the exhibition is coming together. All the exhibition are supported by the institution outside. So what we are doing is like to giving them a service, like bringing out our artists that we have in our network, selecting some of them, trying to find or negotiating a topic, or finding together with most of the time another curator from the other institution, and then trying to select artists that fits to the topic and bringing them also inside, outside into the world, because Ars Electronica most of the time the activities that we are doing are in Linz. So we have the festival here, we have the museum here, we have the Future Lab here. A lot of people are coming. But when I joined Ars Electronica, the discussion from the director was more, okay, we also have to go abroad. And that's why he searched a person to begin to bring Ars Electronica outside of Linz, and that's why we started doing the exhibitions abroad. And that's what I'm doing now.
Okay, I didn't know about all this stuff. It's amazing.
Yes, well, we are I came into the field of media art from myself, so I was always very interested in the field of media art, and I was always very interested in the new artistic practices that are coming up. So actually, as I was trained as an artist, I was really very in a classical training as an artist in the beginning of the 90s. But I learned more and more that artistical practices are changing more and more. I was very interested how this is coming up, which kind of collectives are created during this time, so that more and more artists are not working alone anymore, more and more collaborative works are happened, and more changing and sharing of skills took place. And this was extremely interesting for me, and I for myself, I come more from the music and sound area, so I was doing in my work most of the time installation work combined with different kind of sounds, videos and music, which was not interactive at all, but I combined from the beginning, also when I started at Art University, I always combined video and sounds in my installations.
So which relations do you see between your work and other fields of knowledge?
Well, I briefly mentioned it. I think we already have approached in the 80s and in the 90s, which have been more the centuries of this kind of interdisciplinarity, how we call it. So it began that you are not only an artist, you are also trying to get knowledge in different kind of fields. You even have to be trained with marketing things, you even have to be trained in technological things, you have to know how to use sound, you have to know how to use video, you have to you have to get different skills. So these centuries have been a lot about interdisciplinarity and sharing knowledge with other persons and doing works also, because you need them. You have to get skilled, but first you need them, you have to search them to find these skills. And I think now it's very interesting that this kind of new generation of artists is born, which are already, because then art universities had to change. It's not possible that an art university is training you only with a special focus. More and more art universities have to be more open, has to provide more theory, more skills, more connections to other groups of students. And so a new generation, for me, from my point of view, a new generation of artists was born that are, in a way, multi-skilled artists. They know from different areas a little bit, but they still need to search people that are really sometimes professional in their way, if you want really to have a program that is specially made for the content of the work that you do. But on a way, I have the feeling that the new artists that are coming up now are really some multi-skilled artists that are working in this field. Multi-skilled? Multi? Yeah.
So if this is a hot question, because I was presenting, I have a blog where I put all the information to my professors, see and check what I'm doing, if I'm doing. So one of the comments of the other professor that is also in the group, they suggested to me to include a question about, and I think it's the moment to ask you about it, if you're going to create a course based in your area, how and what would you prioritize in constructing this course?
Which kind of course, like a workshop or?
No, I mean for this multi-skilled artist, maybe. What kind of formation would you like to provide to this of artist?
Well, I think it depends on the aim. I think it depends on the aim. What you want to do, or what you want to have afterwards, or which kind of artists you have in the course. So I think it's a little bit difficult to speak in general about this, but actually my main point is for example, when I'm putting together workshops, so for me it's extremely important that different areas can have a sharing situation. Like for example, what the project that the gallery in Wels, where I'm working also as an artistic consultant. What is very important for us is that to provide a space and to provide a possibility that media artists, for example, like artists working with interactive, with interaction, I have also the possibility to speak with architects, have also possibility to speak with video artists, have also the possibility even to speak with sound artists. So to have this kind of exchange, depending on what they want to tell. The most important thing is always the aim, what you really want to say. And depending on the project that you want to say, you have to search for people that can help you in finding the easiest way and to find the easiest technology. So for my opinion, sometimes technology is has a the level of technology is it's exaggerated, because sometimes artists stick to a special technology level, but the thing that they want to tell could be solved with a very low-tech version. And so what I really want to try is to make the narrative background of the work more important than the way, which kind of media they use. And this is more or less the main thing. So if you are, I think an artist have to be sure about what he wants or she wants to tell, or why she's doing this, and the media is more in the back. So it's not about the media, it's more about the artwork itself. And the media should be just something like helps to present the topic in the best way.
Okay. So who and what are your main references, aesthetics, philosophics, artistics? And what are the main concepts around your work?
What are the main, sorry, again?
No, reference.
What are your main references that you have?
Ooh.
Well, this is difficult to explain because I'm influenced from very different parts. As I mentioned, I'm trained as a classical artist, not as a media artist. And I really come from an old school, like how to use, for example, or how to work with textiles. But I think the only thing which is extremely important is that you think about the way in which process you are, and just to be open what is happening and what other people are doing. Are dealing in a moment. So if I'm doing a work, or if I'm putting together an exhibition, for example, I always have to be open, and there are so many references that come in into this work, which is so different to the works that I've done before, or to the connections that I had with this work before. So in a way, sometimes I have the feeling that everything has to be defined new, and everything has to provide a new focus on the work. So I cannot say that there is one philosopher that I'm mostly influenced, or that there is one artist that I'm mostly influenced. I'm always facing more the topic, so the topic that is important for me in this moment, and then especially to the work, I'm searching for references from different fields that I can let into my work, or that I use as a reference for my work.
Okay. Maybe you were talking about the next topics a little bit in each answer. So if you have something you have already answered.
The projects that I'm processing now?
No. I was just trying to say that if there is some question in the front that you have already answered, you can be...
Okay.
Free to say, oh, this I think I have a reference.
Okay.
So how is your work process, from the creative process to the execution of the work?
Well, I think the same process as like for everybody else. For me, it's one thing is always very important for me, is that I just begin. Sometimes it's so easy to just think about the things you want to do and to make researches on it and just think about it and write on it. Sometimes it's even more important just to start with it. And the most important thing for me is always being in connection with other people and speaking a lot about the things that I want to do. Because the most interesting thing for me is if I have an idea of something and if I want to produce a work or if I want to put together an exhibition, the most important thing is always for me if I can present it to others already in a very precise way, also very short but precise, then sometimes I have the feeling, okay, now it's in my head. Now it's really something that I can begin. And the confrontation with a lot of people gives me also the possibility to rethink some points. Maybe some points where I'm not that clear enough or where I'm still a little bit unconscious. Of course I present it in this way. And then I can get also the reaction from the people, because then I see what they are responding and replying to me. And then I know, okay, this is something that I still have to work on. But as soon as I have a sparkle or something in my head that I think that's it, for example, and that's it, and that's what I have to begin, it's very important also to begin, just to start with the work, because otherwise I also know that a lot of ideas come into the original work and then mutates the work from one year to another, but I've never begun, but it's already the 12th mutation from the work. So this is something which is very important. Yes, but when I'm in the production process then, and when I have the contacts of this lot of people, then I put myself a little bit pressure on it, because then I'm sharing these ideas already with the people, and next time I meet them they are asking me, okay, and what's with the exhibition? Is it already going on? What's with the workshop? What's with the work? And then I have to tell them something. So this is something like a natural pressure on me and my work to go on in developing the project.
Okay. And what are the relations between your work and the available technology, and in which ways are they part of your everyday work?
Well, technology is, so as I'm not now speaking as an artist, I want to say that, of course, technology is based on my everyday work, which is more or less the everyday technology that we're using, like cell phones, like music on our iPods, like a lot of things that we have, like the computers that we're using every day, whatever. But I mentioned it that this kind of media is just for me a media. And it's so I don't want to face the focus on this kind of technologies that are around me. I face more on the story that I wanted to tell. For example, if I'm doing a project which I'm planning now for the next year, for the next 2 years, is a project about migration, where I'm working with migrants together, and where I'm making, like, I'm trying to make public the stories of the migrants, which are sometimes very personal stories, but the stories are hided in a city via telephone numbers. And people that have a cell phone just can call this free number and can get the stories of the migrants, for example. So I just use the cell phone as a communication tool like everybody's using, so I'm not making a special advice and I'm not developing a special feature for the cell phone. I'm just using the cell phone as a communication tool, but for me the most important thing is how can we, in a city like Linz, how can we can get this information of the migrants? For example, if I don't want to speak with a migrant personally, or with a person that just came from Africa, or that just came from South America, however, I think a lot of people are interested how these people are feeling in Linz. But they would never dare, because they are anxious, they would never dare just to go with them and asking them, hey, what are you doing? How is your everyday life? What are you thinking? Why did you come to Austria? Whatever. So I think there's a big barrier between so many people, the people that are living in Linz and the migrants. But I have I think that if they just call a number and get the stories of the migrants, And it's much more easier to get their impression, how they see, for example, the city of Linz, or what they want to tell. And then even I want that the people can leave messages there, so they can leave messages for the migrants. And even if they want to get in contact because they're so touched by the story of this person, then they get in contact because they can leave their cell phone number or their message on it. So I think this, it's just a use of technology. And this is extremely important for me. So that's not technology because it's technology. Technology is just a media that is very important just to translate different kind of things.
Yeah. How do you, but I have another point to discuss about technology, but do you see in the artworks or in if sometimes if technology guides what's being produced, do you think cases that creativity is beyond or not beyond the technology, or do you understand what I mean?
No, not really.
I don't know if I, because I think thinking about market orientation related to this technology, do you see because for instance now this stuff of working with mobiles is in fashion, so there's a lot of people doing that. Do you think do you think if in which sense not to you, as you think, but how people are dealing with what is available. And do you understand what I
mean? So you think there should be more approach in developing something new, or or to use the everyday devices that we have, or?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to ask in English. Maybe I leave it for. I will think
is it, do you mean the art market or the market like the devices that we can buy?
No, it's about the artwork. If sometimes it's in fashion to use this or that and everybody do that. How do you see this? Not about what you think, but how it is happening in the art field, do you think? Everybody think as you think?
No, but I think there's, you know, there's this, I have the impression that especially in media art, sometimes media art itself want to be apart from the contemporary art scene, but in the contemporary art scene already there's so many things happening where they also use technology. And of course, in the media art scene, there's much more this kind of technological collaboratives that have a more technology and a special aim in developing technology. But in contemporary art field, of course, there is now coming up much more art projects using wireless things, using mobile devices, using RFID, because it's already common. It's because it's part of our everyday life. And I think this is also important. It's important that things from our everyday life are used then also in our art projects. But that's not the point. It's not about the technology that we're using. It should be more about what are they doing with it. Are they translating with this kind of media the project that they really want to do? And I think, so from my opinion, it's really not the question about the technology.
Okay. And if you split contemporary art of media art, how do you see, do you think media art is an underground field in the whole art scene or not?
Well,
to how they are really
both. So contemporary art and media art still have their problems of approach. But this was the same. I mean, I think we are speaking now about 30 years, approximately 30 years of media art. And what I've heard, this happened the same to photography. When photography began, it was also the same. It was not included into contemporary art because if it's contemporary, then it used to be a painter. So we still figure the same problem as photography, but now it's different. We have the contemporary art where photography and video is already included, but now we call it the digital art, which is not included because software cannot be art from the focus of a contemporary art or from a contemporary artist, for example. On the other hand, what I found very interesting when I speak with a lot of artists working in the digital field, they also have their problems. They also want to see themselves separated from the contemporary art field because they don't want to be included into the contemporary art field. So this is extremely interesting because they say, okay, we are going into public space. We don't need a white cube. We don't need an exhibition space. We are doing our work. Our works are done everywhere. We are working with the people. We are on the streets. We are influencing in their everyday life. So what is extremely interesting is that the barriers are from both sides, which is extremely interesting for me because actually the aim that I have is not to question about is this contemporary art or is this digital art or where are the barriers. I'm just asking myself, why does this still take happen? And I think this will change within the next years because I already know some artists that they don't care about using technology and they don't ask themselves, I'm now a contemporary artist or am I a media artist? So I think this kind of definition will also is not really obvious in the next years anymore. This is not the, this should not be the question anymore.
Okay. So yeah. Sometimes I really have the answers I wanted, you know. But I got so what do you have to say about media labs, space for exhibition of interactive art with digital bases? And I mean, since the organization to the sponsorship, and you also can say about the public space, anywhere, no space, you can go further in this question.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like very much from the, unfortunately the media labs have problems to exist in a way, so more and more media labs have to close down because of budget problems, but especially in Europe. But I think it's a wonderful melting pot. Like media labs are a wonderful melting pot, not only for producing new or developing new technology. It's also that they have, and now I think a generation is coming up. They have political aims in how to go to the street and how to confront people with different kind of topics through new technologies or through new media. And this is what. It's extremely interesting that there is some kind of activism, to say like a digital activism going on, which I like very much. That it's that we are now like leaving the last 30 years of trying out new technology behind us, and now focusing on that what we can do with the technology and what we can tell with the technology, and how we can influence and activate others through the media of. Through different kind of new medias. And this is what I like very much, and I work together with the Media Lab Madrid, and I was very impressed what they are doing and how active they are, and even they have of course they have the problem to find a budget and to find funds and to survive but they still can work it out. They always find artists, they are working together, they are very active, they are doing a lot of things, and a lot of interesting things are also coming up that for example we included also from Ars Electronica then for art exhibitions, and we did for example also an exhibition together with Media Lab Madrid 2 years ago, and it was very inspiring so to see how they are working. Actually it seems like the same, one room, a lot of computers, many people, but on the other hand it's so interesting that the combination of people that sometimes media labs have and the activities that they are really trying to put forward, and also this kind of how to translate all these kind of topics then to the public, which is extremely important in media art and which is extremely important in this kind of new artist generation, which hasn't been before, I guess, from my point of view. And this seems like, for this, I really love this kind of collaboratives, and I really love this kind of melting pots where so many different skilled artists are coming together and creating new things.
Okay. How do you see the interactor's role in the work you develop? So, as you can say as a curator or as an artist.
Again, how? Where?
Interactor's role, I mean.
The interactor's role in the world. Like, if I'm not a visitor anymore, I'm more like part of the artwork as I'm interacting with it. This is actually quite interesting, because the most important point about this new art, about the digital art, is that we can have generative forms and that we can interact. I think this is something that is really that hasn't existed before in the artistic world. And
generative, you mean autonomy?
No, that. That can
create the work itself.
Yeah. And even you as a visitor can. The work is changing. It's not. It's not a picture. It's moving. It's a moving image. But even it's generating something new because of the special coding, whatever. So I think generating forms and interactivity are these main. Main things why it's so important to have this kind of development in art, and to that really this is something that media art has done.
But would you say that the interactor is a co-author of the work?
No. Well, yeah, depends on the work. If you think about a work like just a coded. Just a software art project, yeah, where you sit in front of a computer and in the way you interact with the work, you are creating special forms and special aesthetics that would nobody else do than you, because in the way you interact with it, you create something special. So you are forced of being a creator. But I would not call this person who is interacting a creator, because this person is extremely limited in the way he or she can interact. So actually the artwork gives you the openness, or it's a more like pretends you being a creator. But in a way you are extremely limited. You only can behave in the framework that the artist is giving you. So this is something very nice that I find about the software art, is that really they give you the openness to feel as a creator, but on the other hand, you're not a creator at all. You have to act in the provided frames that the artist is giving you. So they are playing with so software art especially is playing with the role of the visitor or of the user, of the interactor a lot. And this is also this kind of scenery I like very much. So how much important are you as an interactor to the work? For example, there are other works where you have to interact in order that you can see something. Some installation works where you really have to move, or where you have to touch, or you have to shout, however, to see something. Otherwise, the work is not really running. Then you're the motor of the work. So you are in interaction with the work, but you are the motor. The work would not live without you. It would just like be the computer, but the work itself would not be presented. And then, of course, there are other works that is just in their own digital cosmos. So they present you as it would be interactive, but they are reacting on their own systems. They're generating their own codes, they're generating their own pictures, and you're just being there, being a part, letting it run, but you don't have any influence, because the artwork itself has their own digital cosmos. So there's so many different kind of interactions and possibilities, which is very interesting, which have never been existed in the art, of course, beginning with performance in the 60s and whatever. So late 50s and 60s, of course, there was already this kind of interaction with audience. But in this way, as an interactor and as a part of an artwork, this is really the first time in media art.
Yeah. So, do you see relations between your work process structure and the social system you live in? Which are they? This one. You don't understand what I say.
Oh, actually, it's that's quite really a difficult question.
If you want to say, when you say that the topic is the most important thing in your work, and you're interested in immigration, what else are you interested in? Yeah, it can go course, this way.
Of course. But I mean, how do we gain our topics? Of course about our social background, and of course about our social environment. And for me is like Ars Electronica, so the main focus of Ars Electronica is art, society and technology. So I think this is, maybe Ars Electronica put it to a point. I think this is where we are in, and that influences also our process, how we are working, of course. We get into the, we have our social background, we have our social environment, we have our social life, and we are confronted with it every day. We are asking ourselves so many questions, and yes, and we are translating this into our process and make our projects out of it. Sometimes it's an art project, sometimes it's a workshop, sometimes it's an exhibition where already artists have worked on it. So the form that it ends is different, but the situation that we are confronted with this media and with these questions and with these resources, this is the same like in an everyday life or as I'm living as an artist. So I think it's just the question what I'm doing with it or what kind of output I want to gain with it.
Okay.
Maybe it was a little bit cryptical, but...
In your work, do you see relations between space and narrative, and how do they take shape?
Yeah, I think this is also an extremely... A space and a narrative is an extremely important question, not only for architects, also for artists, and especially with media artists. Because as visitors are approaching more and more to the artwork and need more and more also involving space into the artwork, and also the artwork needs space, more and more space to being presented, especially also public space and also space that is already existing. I'm not only speaking about exhibition space, I'm also speaking about space that is around us, like everyday life. And public space, for example, I think this is extremely important within the last, not in the last years, but already from last 30 to 40 years, that space that space is extremely important to what you want to do in space, or how you want to deal with space, or how you want to define space and what you get out of it.
Yeah, and. Could you say a little bit of the narrative in the exhibition you curate? It's also possible to see relations between space and narrative.
Sometimes. So sometimes it's possible that we really can continue an idea through an exhibition so that we really define extremely clear how the visitor has to go. But most of the time, also because of budget and architectural things, it's not really possible. You can just make some clusters, like put together these exhibits into one room, put together this exhibit in one room, and then to define the relations and the stories, how it came together, or why you put them together, or which kind of similar background they have, or which kind of contribution they give to each other, and why they're confronted in this way. So. This narrative background is, as it's most of the time, media art is also to transferring these ideas behind to the visitor or to public person. So you have to, for my opinion, you cannot just exhibit the work. You have to declare why you are doing this, even to give them the idea or a sparkle of understanding why you did it. And I think if it's very obvious why you did it, you don't have to declare. This is the best thing. But if it's not possible that it really comes up into the first moment, maybe the people can feel it, even they cannot recall it, but they can feel it. Or you can provide, of course, a lot of information through different kind of media and interaction possibilities, so that the visitor or the interactor or just people outside get into the idea of what you want to say.
I have another question. If you think that a new kind of artist is growing in our moment, and of course if it's more skilled, they have other challenges to go. So I would ask you, as a curator, what are the challenges for the curators in this context?
I think there are a lot of challenges for teachers and curators.
Yeah.
For curators, the challenge is to see or to find out, not to see only the artwork, to find out also like who is the artist behind, and from like which different kind of influences also the artist has, in order to present the artwork in the right framework that the artwork should be. I think it's more about that that the artwork has done so many layers, which maybe cannot be seen only by interacting with the artwork. So from my point of view, for a curator, it's not only good that you see an artwork and you're not speaking about with the artist. For me as a curator, I think it's more and more important that curators are really getting in contact with the artists, are really trying to see what is their background, why did they do it, which kind of collaborative situations they have, from which side they are coming, what they are thinking, so that there's also a lot of sharing and a lot of ideas and a lot of getting to know the background of the work than before. I think it's not so easy anymore just to exhibit an artwork that you like. It's much more complex, the situation, and it's much more important to really get in contact with artists and speak with them about their artwork. And I think for teachers, it's also very important to provide as much information as they can, or also to provide a good network of teachers with different skills. Even if you are like me, studying textiles, I think you should not provide the same professors like years ago. You should really find also people that worked in different areas, like textiles used for architecture, textiles used for technology devices, textiles used for even research things in nano area, whatever. I think there should be much more interest and openness to a different kind of development, which should be both from a teacher side and from a curatorial side.
Okay. My question's finished. Do you have something else to say that would do? Okay. Thank you very much.